SOS Radio on demand.
It changed my heart.
On demand.
It changes your life.
Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast.
It never ceases to amaze me how God works through songs and through the words that are put together through music. And you see a lot of similar themes emerging from artists all over the world, especially in the season that we've been walking through. We're actually talking with author and pastor and songwriter Glenn Packiam today at SOS Radio. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. Great to be talking with you today.
So Glenn's one of the pastors at New Life Church in Colorado Springs, and he's also written over 50 different worship songs over the years. And Glenn, it's interesting, as we walk through our faith, some of us, we read. Some of us, we like to talk. And some of us like to write in the form of music. What do you think it is about music that makes it such a pillar of culture?
It's an amazing thing. I mean, I think in every different human civilization, you could probably find some version of music and singing. And researchers, scientists have discovered that when human beings, when people sing in groups together, the brain actually releases a chemical called oxytocin, which is that bonding chemical. It's the thing that makes you feel connected and makes you feel a sense of peace and comfort. And so even just the way God, as Christians, we'd say, well, that's the way God created us. He created us so that when we sing, we actually feel uplift in our spirits. And then as Christians, of course, there's a much bigger dimension to it. It's not just the act of singing itself, but it's the God that we're singing to and the God that we're singing about that makes all the difference in the world. And so, you think thousands of years ago, the people of God sang all these psalms and prayers to God. And then Christians, of course, continue that tradition. And you see Paul and Silas singing in a prison cell at midnight. And Christians are known, I've talked to some missionary friends around the world. They're like, people identify us as, oh, are you guys the people who sing? Christians are the people who sing. I love that.
Now, Glenn, you're on the team at New Life Church in Colorado Springs, and you've been a pastor, and you've also been a worship leader and an author. It's interesting when you look at the words in songs. And for us, I mean, here at Christian Radio, everyone seems to have a different opinion about what Christian music actually is, right? It's like, is there such thing as a Christian drum beat or a guitar riff, or is it lyrics? What have you processed as you've studied this over the years, Glenn?
Well, there's certainly musicians who in their art, in their creativity, can communicate something, and music has the ability to evoke moods and provoke certain emotions. But I do think ultimately lyrics are a really important thing, because lyrics are how we kind of direct our emotions. So to put it simply, music can awaken an emotion, but lyrics can direct that emotion. They can tell us what to feel, sad about, or what to feel joyful about. And I think lyrics are especially powerful in that way because of the way that they point us to God. And as Christians, we are verbal people. We're people of the word. We're people who believe that God, in a speaking God, a God who speaks to us. And so music is one of the ways that we answer God. It's one of the ways that we use our words to be able to say back to him who he is and what he means to us and our response of worship and devotion to him.
It's funny, SOS Radio has been here since 1972, and since the very first day when we started playing Christian music, people will call and say, I hear like words, God's using the words in a song, like speaking to where I'm at, or I hear the right words at the right time. I'm hearing like songs that I need to hear today that I heard 3 days ago or a week ago or 3 years ago that didn't register with me. It's like a right song, right time moment. We're talking with Glenn Packiam today at SOS Radio. He just wrote a book about worship and the world to come. It's about exploring Christian hope in contemporary worship. And here's what's really interesting in this. I mean, you've studied this in college and seminary. I mean, you have a doctorate, and you say in your book that Christians sing because we're people of hope. And like in Romans 15, Apostle Paul's talking about, may the God of hope fill you with all the joy and the peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit may abound in hope. I mean, our hope tanks have just been running low through this long season we've been living through. There's a lot of division, in our country right now.
Yep.
But hope transcends current events, Glenn.
It absolutely does. And for the Christian, hope is not just optimism. Sometimes in our language use of the word hope, we kind of think, oh, I'm hopeful. I'm a Broncos fan. So I'm hopeful that, we'll turn the season around or whatever. But that's just optimism or a wish. But for a Christian, hope is different. For a Christian, hope is grounded in the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And that is the single event that has changed the course of human history. So for Christians to have hope, it has nothing to do with current events In fact, in the face of current events, like you said, we have a hope that is grounded in a much deeper way. Nothing will change the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And so because of that, it's actually the supreme sort of revelation of God's faithfulness in the past, i.e. Jesus' resurrection, that gives us confidence for God's faithfulness in the future. In the Old Testament, in the Psalms, you know, the people of Israel would look back at God's faithfulness at the Exodus, you know, delivering them from Egypt, and that was how they had confidence for the future. Well, as Christians, we say, yeah, that's true, but actually the resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate demonstration that God will not abandon his people, that God will have the final word, that even if the worst thing happens, God will have the last word. He can bring resurrection from death. God is the God who raises the dead.
Let's talk about the difference between singing and worshiping. We're talking with Glenn Packiam today at SWS Radio. He actually just wrote a book that really digs into worship and the world to come, and it's talking about hope that we get through worshiping God. You know, what have you found about keeping a confident, assurant hope front and center when we're worshiping Jesus, where it's different than just singing?
You know, it's important that we're singing songs that remind us of who God is and what God has done and what God will do. The early Christians had a saying that they would say every time when they gathered in worship and would come to the Lord's table. They would say that the mystery of our faith is that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Now, if you think about those three phrases, there's a past tense, Christ has died, there's a present tense, Christ is risen, and there's a future tense, Christ will come again. And so as Christians, when we worship, we want to remind ourselves of that. We want to remind ourselves that God has acted. Christ has come. Christ died for us, took the weight of sin and evil and the world upon himself. And then we want to say in the present, Christ is risen. So one of the things that happens when we worship versus just, you know, singing a nice song or a, you know, a happy tune or whatever, is we really believe that we're encountering God, that God promises to meet us where two or three gather in his name, and he dwells in the praises of his people. And so when we're worshiping, we're actually experiencing by the Holy Spirit, we're experiencing the presence of the risen Christ. That's a powerful thing. And then the future dimension of it, Christ will come again. We're reminding ourselves of what the future holds. So I think worship at its best holds together the past, the present, and the future. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We've been living through a really interesting season for the church, and we're talking with Glenn Packiam today at SWS Radio, and with our churches that were closed for so long. And many of our churches have been reopening, but in a smaller scale with all the limitations that our governors are putting on things. It's been really interesting to see how we worship, Glenn, because when we're watching a screen at home, even if it's on a 60-inch flat screen, right, you're singing by yourself or with your family,
yeah.
And it feels different when you're singing collectively in church. And David Kinnaman was on with us recently from Barna Research and was talking about how like a third of active church-going Christians from this time last year haven't participated at all in a single church service or online Bible study or tangible in-person church or online church at all through the summer or this fall. And he said, it's really impacting our churches in a big way, but I got to imagine our experience in worship is being impacted in an even stranger way.
It's definitely true, Scott. And, you know, we do what we have to do, and we're trying to be responsible and all of that stuff. But what I hope is that Christians recognize that this is a concession that we're making for the season that we're in, but it's not going to be our new normal. And what I mean by that is there is nothing like the people of God actually being bodily present in a room together. There's physiology about that. There's things that happen. Sociologists have called this emotional energy. When beings are in a room together, it produces a kind of emotional energy. Now, as Christians, we'd say, well, I mean, that's one component of it, but there's a spiritual component of it too. But I would say if we can't gather and people who feel isolated because maybe they're vulnerable, they live with someone who's vulnerable, and it really isn't wise for them to gather, I would say, you know, do what you can to sing along with the service. It's tempting to look at the screen and just watch it as a observer or a consumer of content, which, you know, that's what we normally do when we're in front of a screen. But I know when we were going through the, you know, the few months of doing digital only, online only services, we would constantly, you know, look at the camera and say to people, hey, if you're in your living room, just stand with us, clap with us, sing with us. And there's something about those bodily motions and those bodily actions that provokes something in our brain chemistry and in our emotions and even in our spirit. And so let's make the best of it that we can. Let's not just sort of listen to the people singing. Let's sing along with them and trust that God can meet us even through this mediation of technology.
We're talking about how worship actually activates hope with Glenn Packiam today at SWS Radio. And Glenn, you're one of the pastors at New Life Church in Colorado Springs, and you're also a songwriter. How do you see worship both as a way to proclaim hope, but also to form hope?
I mean, the worship that proclaims hope, and really the worship that forms hope, needs to do a couple of different things. What I discovered in my research, and I interviewed or had a survey with over 1,000 worship leaders across the country, and asked them a number of different questions. But among the questions, I asked them, name me a song that brings them hope, or brings their churches hope. And then I kind of looked at the 10 most mentioned songs and then analyzed those songs. And a curious thing is, for the most part, the songs that rose to the top of that list didn't really sing about the future. They didn't really sing about the world to come. So that phrase, the early Christians in the 300s or so, they came up with a confession of faith called the Nicene Creed. And the creed ends with this line, "We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come." They were saying, we look forward to our own bodily resurrection one day when God defeats death for us and the life of the world to come, the new heaven and the new earth. Well, I discovered that not many of the songs that we even say are songs of hope actually talk about our future bodily resurrection. Not many of the songs talk about new creation coming, new heaven and new earth. So number one, I think our songs can do a better job of telling the end of the story. We do a good job of pointing the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, but we need to do a better job of pointing to the end of the story. I believe if we can paint the picture for people of the end of the story, like the old hymns used to do, the final stanza of the old hymns would always have a "one day when we stand before the throne," or "one day when Christ comes again." You know, those are the kinds of themes that we need to recapture in our songs. But secondly, I discovered that because I didn't just analyze songs, I also spent some time with two local churches, one in Dallas and one in Denver, and spent a lot of time with focus groups and interviewing pastors. I discovered that people are still experiencing hope in worship, even if the songs don't perfectly express our hope. And so what I recognize is that if our worship songs sing about God and his power and his presence with us, that in itself is enough to produce and form hope in us. So you could be singing "How Great is Our God," and you could be experiencing hope because it reminds you that God's got this.
Worship can be incredibly diverse depending on your upbringing. And let's talk about the difference between diversity and unity when we're talking about worshiping God, because this isn't about us. And a lot of times we go to a church and we say, you know what? I'm bringing my perspective and my tastes and my talents and the style that I like, and that's what I want in my church. But we're not doing worship for me. We're doing worship for God, right? When we talk about style and that becomes our primary complaint with our church, and we try to have discussions about diversity and how to reach the most amount of people. But Glenn, do you see that differently as unity?
I think what's wonderful is that God loves diversity. He built it into creation. Genesis, you see the marvelous diversity of creation. And you see it in the book of Revelation. What you see, John's picture of the great multitude is a multitude beyond count, from every tribe and tongue, from every nation and family. And so that says to me that the end goal is not for all of us to look the same, sound the same, sing the same, like the same styles or cultures. You know, that the end goal is actually to be like this stained glass window, like this mosaic of the colors of a stained glass window representing the different diversity, but the light of Christ that shines through all of us. Or to put it another way, to use a different metaphor, like a symphony with different parts and different members. So I think the diversity and unity coexist, and music is actually a wonderful metaphor of that. But one of the surprising things I discovered in my research with two very different local churches is that people experienced hope through very different means. In one local church, the people would point to the energy and the upbeat music and the band. And the other local church, they said actually they loved that the music was quiet. They loved that there was candles. And it was more about the contemplative moment and the casserole time after service, you know. And what I discovered is God is a creative God, and he has a way of meeting us with his presence and communicating hope to us through a variety of ways. So we don't need to be narrow about it. And in one sense, it's an encouragement that, hey, God can meet you, you know, where you're at. On the other sense, it's a bit of a rebuke to say, don't be so stubborn about your styles and preferences, because there's not one style that's more heavenly than another. God has a way of using the quiet, the loud, the everything in between to help us not only glorify him, but to help us be edified by his Spirit.
We're talking with Glenn Packiam today at SWS Radio, and his new book, it's called Worship in the World to Come. It's about exploring Christian hope and contemporary worship. Thanks for spending some time with us today, Glenn.
Thank you so much, Scott. Great to talk to you.
Thanks for streaming Scott Harrell's podcast from SOS Radio.
If you're one of our regular listeners,
would you consider giving it a 5-star rating?
It really helps spread the word.